Thank you, Lord. Welcome, everybody, to this conference. We're going to share on the recovery of the church. It's the subject of this conference. First of all, we're going to read the verses. We're going to read Ephesians 3. Verses 3 to 5. Amen. We're going to read together with an exercise spirit. That by the revelation of the mystery was made known to me, as I have written previously in brief, by which, in reading it, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in spirit. Amen. Verses 8 to 11. To me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel, and to enlighten all, that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church, according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's turn to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Verses 16:25 in Romans. Verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, that is, the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept in silence in the times of the ages. Amen. Here are the verses. So, like I said, the subject is the recovery of the church. Before we start, we want to know what is a church. We need to have a definition, intrinsic significance, definition, adequate definition of the church. Because we were influenced by Christianity, so we have many definitions of the church. The church, you know, if we ask the question, what is the church? We can say that the church is an assembly of people who are saved. That's a good definition, but it's incomplete. The church is the plan of God. And then we see in the verses that we have read, Paul wants to reveal this eternal purpose. When you read his readings, so when we look at the epistles, we see a very good definition of the church. And we need to know the definition according to God's revelation. So the church is a corporification of the body of Christ. So the church that we are talking about, that the Bible talks about, is a matter of expression. The church needs to express God. If the church is to express God, that means all the believers, those who meet together, need to express God. So, it's a matter of expression. To contact God, and the organ to contact is our spirit. But the organ to express God is our soul. So God needs many believers. He needs to save many believers in order to transform their souls so that they can express God in a corporate way. So when our soul is being transformed by the triune God, and that it expresses the triune God, there we have the church. So that's what's on God's heart. Our soul needs to be transformed. Amen. So God's intention since eternity past is to have the church. In order to do this, you know, he had to save many believers, and he's continuing to save them, to infuse himself, to mingle himself with them. And he is propagating from his spirit to their soul so that they may express him. And when their soul is transformed, and when we are one in our soul, we can express the triune God. At that moment, the church is manifested and expresses the Lord. And that's what God wants. And that's what we talk about when we talk about the church, is what is on God's heart. So to express God, we need a sanctified being, a transformed soul, and a mind, renewed mind, and all our entire being needs to be saturated with the triune God in order for us to express him. So we need to cooperate with him. But unfortunately, there's so many things that have been lost these past years. And so we have many believers who lost this concept, this definition of the church. And what the Lord wants to do right now is to recover it. The Lord wants us to return to the beginning, to his heart's desire. So we need to go back to the beginning, where God had planned it, and that was this definition of the church. So this is the way that we're going to look at this. Look at the church. This is what we're talking about. And the Lord doesn't want us to be led by the other definitions that we know. He just wants us to be governed and led by what is on his heart. So in this message, we're gonna look at we need to realize that we need to participate in the recovery of the church, and we need to see God's eternal purpose concerning the church. So I won't read the entire outline. I'll read some points. And if there's a need, then I'll share on something. So, letter A. A purpose is a determined intent to do something or to gain something. So Ephesians 3:11 says, according to the eternal purpose that he has formed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God had a purpose, and he is accomplishing his purpose now. In this age, the Lord wants his church, and he planned it in eternity past. And in this age, he will accomplish it, and he'll get his church in eternity future in the New Jerusalem. In eternity past, before the foundation of the world, before all things were created, God had a purpose. It is, So point two. So we read this in Ephesians 1. We can read this, Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. According to the... Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him in love, predestinating us unto sonship through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So God planned this. And that's why before the foundation of the world, he chose us. He predestinated us to be holy like him in life and in nature so that we may express him. So the word purpose in Ephesians 3:11 is equivalent to the word plan. So God had a plan that he had. God has a plan which he planned in eternity. God's eternal purpose is God's eternal plan. His purpose in Romans 8:28 refers to the purposeful determination in God's plan. So his purpose. God has a purpose. And this purpose was to was Paul's purpose. And that influenced Paul's purpose. And so we want God's purpose to be our purpose. We want that to influence our life. And God's purpose is the church. It has to influence our life. We have to give ourselves for the church. We need to be one with the church because the church is God's purpose. So the church isn't temporary but is eternal. In God's eternal purpose, the church is the center and the subject of God's plan. So in God's economy, the church is the center of his purpose, of his economy. So, because it's the center, that means it's important, it's capital for the Lord. And if it's capital for the Lord, it has to be capital for us. So, God plans to have the church composed of regenerated and transformed human beings who are coordinated and built together as a corporate body, a corporate vessel. And this corporate vessel is the local church for us right now. So the local church has to express God in a corporate way. The local church for us is this vessel that expresses God. So we need to take care of the local church. We need to cherish it in our locality. Amen. So the church is dear, lovable, and precious to God because the church is his good pleasure, the desire of his heart. The church is God's pleasure. She's so precious to God that it has to be precious for us too. We have to pray that God's desire will become our desire, the desire of our heart, and God will do it, because that's what, because he's waiting for us. So even our life needs to be guided by the Spirit, by the church. I'll give you my testimony that we have experienced. So before we wanted to buy a house. And those who live in Montreal, you know that the cost is very expensive, it's very high. So you don't have much money. But where we live, more that we go further from Montreal, the more it's more affordable. But we weren't free to go wherever we wanted. And where I live already, it's pretty far. So imagine if you were to go even further. So we considered all that. So we considered the saints. We don't want to be too far away from the saints. And the other consideration was just the meeting hall. We wanted the room to be big enough. There was a house that we wanted, but it was too far. So we wanted to satisfy the saints. And we found other houses that was affordable, that was close, but the living room was too small, and we couldn't find any more houses because our capacity didn't allow us to get what we wanted. And so we were just ready to just abandon everything unless our conditions were fulfilled, so that the saints would feel free to come to our house. And so the Lord supplied us. He found a house that was big enough to have a meeting, because we considered God's purpose, which is the church. When we consider God's church, God's purpose, which is the church, you might think that the Lord, apparently God takes care of us, but in fact He's taking care of the church. It's His desire to take care of the church, but it's through us that He takes care of His church. So we need to give our all for the church. Amen. So God's intention concerning the church is threefold: to express Himself through the sonship, to make His multifarious wisdom known to the enemy, and to head up all things in Christ. And to do this, He needs our cooperation. He needs that we cooperate and that we're open to Him, so that He can dispense Himself into us, so that this desire can be attained. So, when we have seen this vision, when we have seen what is on God's heart, we have our goal. Our goal is to enlighten all the men, that they see this purpose too, that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, and that has been revealed to us in this age. So I'll stop here. So Anderson will now share on the second point. Amen. So we need to. So we're talking about the fact that we need to be enlightened concerning God's purpose, the mystery that was hidden in God. So we read Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 9. I like verse 9, and I'll read it. And to enlighten all, that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. There's a fundamental reason that motivates us, that motivates the creation of the universe. God had an intention in His heart that motivated Him to create man. And Ephesians says that this mystery was hidden. God hid it in His heart. And when He made man, when He made the heavens and the earth, He had a desire, a hidden intention. And Paul says that we need to enlighten all concerning this mystery. It's wonderful. Everything that happens to us, all our life, what we will live, goes back to this intention of God, this God's hidden intention, that is His mystery. The New Testament tells us that the church was a mystery in God, point A. Throughout all the generations before the New Testament time, the church was a mystery. God, in Luke 1, verse 79. I'll read it to you. Luke 1:79. To shine upon those sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. When God shines His light, why should we enlighten all? Why should we manifest God's intention concerning to all men? So when I was working under light, electricity, you know, and there was a light out, you know, everything power outage, and everything was dark, and it, you know, might take some time for it to come back, but suddenly the light comes back, and so when that happens, you're happy, you're like, well, yeah, you know, the light's back. Why? Because the Lord knows that once men are enlightened, it gives them joy, it gives them life. It leads them to focalize on this light. And this light is God's purpose. It's God's intention. Why? What does God want? What is God looking for in us? Why does He want to fill us? When God created us, what was His intention? Oh, praise the Lord that we have this answer today. Praise Him that we have the real meaning of our life. We don't live for nothing. Hallelujah. We know why we are living. God wants to fill us. But once God fills us, why? Here's an indispensable question for us that we need to ask ourselves. You know, now that I'm okay, filled with God, why? What is that for? I'm saved, but why? It's for God's mystery. It's for the hidden mystery. That was His intention since many years. But Paul, he was happy that, you know, to reveal His intention, God's intention. And once I see God's intention, once I see His desire, you know, once I appreciate and consider His desire, I understand why He would do this. God would do this in my life. You know, I don't need to ask, you know, what's going on. When I see God's mystery, hidden mystery, it causes me to concentrate all my attention on it. It turns me to God. It's the case of Simon in Luke. Simon was completely focused on. He was led to worship the Lord, to wait this revelation. And once the Lord allowed that to happen, Simon was so happy. He was in joy. He said, "Lord, You can take my soul." So all men need to be enlightened. Hallelujah. We need to be enlightened. We need to stay in this light, in this hidden mystery. That is God's intention, God's desire. To imagine if my desire was God's desire, if, you know, God's desire becomes my desire, I would gain everything. Yeah. I would let myself be led by God, and God can be expressed through me. You know, with other people, and we can rejoice. Why did he speak to Adam? Why did he create Adam? What was his intention? Why did he create Adam? God causes us to see this today. And we need to be caught by that. That's what Paul saw. That's what Paul saw. And when Paul woke up, everything changed. So when he got up, he could appreciate this mystery. He could, be blended into this mystery. He could get into this ministry, this mystery. Okay, Acts 26. Verses 18. Chapter 26, verse 18. I'll read it. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Here is one of God's mission that He has charged us. That's what God wants to do. He wants to shine. He wants us to see what was in His heart since eternity past. Because the Lord knows that when we give this possibility to when we shine on men, when we have seen what is on God's heart, when we see, the Lord knows He will turn us from darkness to light. Hallelujah. It's spontaneous. And we need this. We need to enlighten all and be enlightened and stay in this light. Without this, our life doesn't have a goal. There's no meaning. So, when God saved me, why? Why did He leave me on the earth? God dispenses Himself into us in multiple people, and God wants us to express Him, and He is satisfied. He finds His desire. We understand the process that Christ went through to gain us, and it's wonderful to see this hidden mystery. And God allows Himself to be uncovered because He wants these people to see, these people who have seen this, He wants people to see this hidden mystery. Point E. The mystery hidden in God's heart is God's eternal economy, which is God's eternal intention, with His heart's desire to dispense Himself in His divine Trinity as the Father and the Son by the Spirit into His chosen people to be their life and nature, so that they may be the same as He is and His duplication, to become an organism, the body of Christ, as a new man, for God's fullness, God's expression, which will become the new Jerusalem. So Achille was talking about how we need to consider the church. This is what God wants. God gives us a clear goal right now. He gives us a clear goal. We're no longer lost. We're in God's light. So we need to share this mystery. Because according to God's principle, those who see this are turned from darkness to light. Those who see this hidden mystery. And once they're in the light, God can have His expression. God can have His representation. his church, his life in many people, and Christ's reproduction becomes real, becomes tangible. This is God's mission. He has charged us, and we give him glory that he touched us, that he caused us to see this and to understand these things. We have seen how Paul's life was changed, and the Lord wants us to see. You know, he wants to see us enlightened. He wants us to stay in this glory. Glory to his name. Amen. Amen. Glory to his name. Amen. What I enjoyed this morning, I enjoyed two questions. So why did the Lord save us? Why does he want to fill us? And Ashiel asked, what is the church? What is the definition, intrinsic definition of the church? I think this weekend, we need to consider these two questions. What is God's purpose, desire? Why were we saved? Why does he fill us? And why do things happen to us? And why? And what is the church? So in order to know this, I thought two verses came to us. One of them is in Matthew 5:3. So for those who have it, we can read it together. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Amen. And Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. First of all, yeah, we have many concepts. We have many definitions of the church, but we need to forget them. All these concepts, we need to tell the Lord, give me a poor spirit, make me poor in spirit so that I can receive a new revelation, a dispensation, a fresh dispensation that is on your heart. We want a pure heart to pursue after what you want us to pursue.